Sacred Meditations by Johann Gerhard. Gerhard was born in 1582 in Germany. Born on October 17th of that year, he was born again from above 4 days later when he was baptized into Christ and became a son of God and fellow heir with Jesus. Johann was one of seven children, and although he was born into a noble family, he suffered many trials in his 54-plus years. When he was 15, Johann became very sick and promised God that he would enter the public ministry of the Word if he was able to endure the sickness. His afflictions were also ones of conscience, readily acknowledging his sinfulness and earnestly desiring the forgiveness of all his sins and being declared right with God. He was helped in this by the ministrations, care, and counsel of his pastor, Reverend Johann Arndt. Gerhard entered the University of Wittenberg in 1599 and invested 2 years of his life in the study of medicine. Then in Jena, he returned to his study of theology, doctrine, the scriptures, and early church writings. Near the end of 1603, Johann became acutely sick and thought that he was about to depart this life. He didn't. In 1606, at the age of 22, while still a student, Johann Gerhard wrote Sacred Meditations. It is a remarkable work for someone so young to be able not simply to understand doctrine or even to properly distinguish law and gospel, but also and especially to articulate the depth of the conscience being accused and or excused, as well as applying the Word of God to one's own soul. Surely the afflictions, sickness, and suffering that the Lord brought him through enabled Gerhard to write these meditations with such understanding and application. While one learns the doctrine from the Word of God, one's trials and joys in life put that doctrine into practice by both the hammer of the law upon the heart and the application of the soothing balm of the gospel upon the soul. You are invited to bear that in mind as you listen to these sacred meditations by Johann Gerhard. Meditation 48, The Blessed Companionship of Angels in Heaven. Heaven is our home. In the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Where is the man who can fittingly set forth this blessed state of the redeemed in heaven? What human heart hath ever conceived of the things that God hath prepared for them that love him? The elect of God, with bodies glorified at the resurrection, and with no more fear of death, and without a single stain or spot of corruption clinging to them, enjoy the beatific vision of God in heaven. I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved, exclaimed the godly patriarch Jacob. And if only a momentary vision of God could produce such transports of joy, oh, what will be the eternal vision of God? If only a brief glimpse of God, as he appeared in human form, brought life and salvation to Jacob's soul, surely when we see God face to face in heaven, it will bring eternal life and unending blessedness to our souls. What more could be added to fill up the cup of blessedness in heaven? What more than this beatific vision of God could the redeemed ask or desire? And yet, in addition to all this, they will enjoy the sweet and blessed companionship of the angels of God. And more than this, they themselves shall be like the angels in the activity of their celestial bodies, in their splendor, and in their immortality. We shall put on with them the same garments of holiness, and standing before the throne of the Lamb, clothed in white robes, we shall sing eternal anthems of praise to the Lord our God. Crowns of glory like theirs shall adorn our brows, and in the same blessings of that immortal state we too shall rejoice. We shall surely die because we have seen God, exclaimed Manoah. But there we shall see thousand thousands and 10,000 times 10,000 angels, and we shall live forever and ever. And if we are to be like the angels in heaven, then we need no longer fear that in that holy place we shall ever by sin make ourselves unlike them. We shall put off the filthy rags of our sinful natures and be clothed with the garments of salvation, with the white robe of holy innocence. In that blessed abode, troubles shall no longer oppress us, angry passions no more distress us, envy and hate no more distract us, foolish desires no more disturb us, and hurtful ambition no more inflame us. This load of sin shall there burden us no more, nor shall we be obliged there to lament the stains of sin with penitential tears, nor live in constant fear of its deadly wounds to our souls. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath conquered sin and Satan, and in his might shall we all prevail. And if we shall be like the angels, then indeed shall we neither hunger nor thirst any more. God shall be the food of our souls, and in him we shall be abundantly satisfied, nor shall he ever fail to refresh us with supplies of love and grace. Of the redeemed it is written, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And from them shall flow rivers of living water. And there shall be prepared a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees. And we shall partake of that heavenly repast, we shall shout aloud for very joy of heart. O blessed Lord Jesus, may all these joys that thou hast promised us be fulfilled in us, in spirit and in truth. Of the fruit of the vine shall we drink in thy Father's kingdom, but in spirit and in truth. The words which thou hast spoken unto us, they are spirit, and they are life. And so, in the language of this world, thou dost set forth the joys that await us in the future world. And if we are to be like the angels, then surely we shall no longer fear death. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Death shall be forever destroyed. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. There will be joy without sorrow, health without pain, life without toil, light without darkness. There our love will never grow cold, our joy never diminish, a groan of pain never be heard, grief never be experienced, no sadness ever be seen, and eternal gladness shall be our unfailing possession. There we shall have certain security, secure tranquility, tranquil delight, delightful happiness, a happy eternity, an eternal blessedness, the blessed Trinity, the triune unity, the unity of deity, and the beatific vision of God. Be of good comfort, O my soul, and rise to a higher and higher appreciation of the honor that Christ hath conferred upon thee. We shall join the glorious company of angels and archangels, and be associated with rank on rank of heavenly intelligences, thrones, and dominions, principalities, and powers. And not only so, but we shall be like them also. There we shall come to know our guardian angel of this life, nor shall we be without its holy ministry there, but we shall be glad by its blessed companionship. We shall no longer need its protecting care, but its society shall be a source of constant joy, and upon its heavenly splendor we shall gaze with clarified vision. And if we shall be like the angels, then these frail, feeble, and mortal bodies of ours shall be changed, and become spiritual bodies, active as the angels and immortal. They shall shine with the full effulgence of the divine glory, because of their nearness to God, who dwells in a light which no man can approach unto, and who covereth himself with light as a garment. And they shall be incorruptible, because they are like the angels, nay, rather, because they shall be changed into the likeness of the glorified body of Christ. They are sown here in corruption, they shall be raised in incorruption. They are sown in dishonor, they shall be raised in glory. They are sown in weakness, they shall be raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it shall be raised a spiritual body. It shall shine as the brightness of the firmament forever. Come, O blessed Lord Jesus, O come and make us partakers of thy heavenly glory.